to the usability research for KDE at OpenSUSE Talk. My name is Stefan Linder, next to me Will Stevenson.
Hello everybody.
We are both working on KDE at SUSE Linux Product Seminar, and we want to talk about what we do or what we did last summer. The motivation for what we did is that SUSE wants to drive innovation. We want to do stuff. So our team, I will introduce it a bit later, analyzed what should we do as a team project, and we rated it with get a little vote also in the team, what gives the best way of work to benefit. And designing the KDE start menu was the most obvious we found. Also because half a year ago and still today there were ongoing discussions about how the KDE 4 start menu should look like. There have been already several approaches for the next generation start menu. Some examples I want to show. On older SUSE Linux distributions we had the distinction of the upstream KDE start menu, which is the search field. That's under the old application header, where you could limit or highlight where an application hides in the application hierarchy. But of course, we have to say that it doesn't offer the today's features other desktops offer, like desktop search and easy access to your favorite applications and also through documents. So we wanted to improve this more than just a small Excel. Also, all the most used applications here at the bottom is really ugly layout. And, yeah. There are in the KDE community also some projects which try to create a new start menu. Which, one of them is Taste Menu, which offers your favorite applications, has an application browser, but you see when you open it, it stores everything as a user. It's really massive. And also only in a later version I think there was a desktop search integrated, but it also it opens an additional window for the search results. Another approach upstream. Not upstream, but on KDE Ops, it's a project named KDFX, which has its main focus on Ansible, which in the version we had last summer didn't have integration of desktop search and has a bit cumbersome navigation for scrolling through available applications. There's some scroll bar and then you have to click on the scroll up and scroll down buttons there. Also not in here, what we maybe wanted to have is a shortcut to to often used system functionality, like you want to have access to your drives or to your control center. Then Celeste Powell is a usability expert from New York, I think, which is engaged in an e-usability project, made some mock-up of some application browser with some fancy ideas like related applications to whatever category you are in or you just selected. But the current application doesn't contain this information that you have what application is related to which one and to which category, so if not the information to display also is very big and offers not some features you wanted, like easy access to documentation you recently worked on. Then in the SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop 10, the GNOME Desktop team introduced a new application menu, start menu, which you will see. Which you see here, which has a field for the desktop search, which you cannot see it, that's also a point, your favorite application and the other functionality for recent documents and recent applications. And yeah, it's a nice approach, and we also thought it's an improvement. But what we didn't like, for example, is that when you click on more applications or enter something in the search language, that every time a new window opens, not really fast even, and you cannot do everything in place, and you cannot see what other show functionality is there because this API combo box is there. So we thought we could do it better. And we are the interfaces and application team. We want to
part of it.
The people who participated in this project. You can see last summer the members of the project, one tiny left and two people joined since then. besides, there's some members of our team, of course we have a team lead, who is also a leading KDE developer. Then we have three KDE developers. Who are working on upstream on the KDE project and work on the OpenSUSE integration of the applications, packaging, and also integrating with Novell products like Bootwise, Computer, and Context Support. And some of the projects we specific to SUSE are, of course, kickoff, the starting we are talking about. Then carries the KDE legal front end, the KDE network manager front end, this info client, there's some parts which are implemented for us and are special to SUSE. Then we have three usability experts in our team, which examples of work that they participated in the OpenSUSE survey, which is just online now on the homepage on OpenSUSE.org. They do website evaluation, like the Novell Customer Center. This is when you buy the enterprise product. Recently, they started to do a last card sort study. That's you get ganz many cards, and test persons are asked to file them into categories and often end up with a different structure of last than we have at the moment in the distribution. Maybe you have already seen in the first pass of the art of the new version of upcoming YAST style guide in the OpenSUSE wiki. There's no member of it working on it. Then we have an internet synchronization specialist who is an expert for font rendering and input methods, especially Asian fonts. There's Max Stoppelich kind of work. And not on this photo, in the previous slide, we have a web designer who also paints sometimes some icons like for Kerry or the SUSE updater you see on the KDE desktop, and who recently also proposed on the OpenSUSE wiki this proposal for a new, not only wiki layout, but a new website layout for the build servers, the wiki, and what we offer. And I think there will be a second draft soon. So we decided to improve the study and make a usability study. And the setup of the study is to test different on the market or then soon on the market available start menus. It includes the classic KDE menu, the GNOME menu on the set enterprise desktop, and the menu of Microsoft Vista Beta 2 at that time. And so we tried to find the strengths of these tests by comparing the test results of these studies. And we had 10 users per test cohort. All the users were asked to fill out a questionnaire about the user habits. Then every user got presented with 13 tasks, which were videotaped for later evaluation.
And afterwards, they were again interviewed about their impressions about the start menu they just had to work with and how they felt they managed the task. After that, we looked at the results. So what are the strengths or the weaknesses of single start menus? And developed a prototype, which got then tested with another 10 users, different users. So we could see if some assumption of us or some findings were not correct. And if we would have infinite time, we would have likely done the cycle, doing the next prototype again and doing the next again user type. User study endlessly until we have the perfect product, but unfortunately we don't have that time. Yeah, and so we improved the prototype again, and in OpenSUSE 10.2 we have shipped the final version of our efforts. Here's a list of the tasks the users had to complete. That are common tasks. You can see yourself blocking screen. Maybe just remember the task 2. Task 12 is to change the start menu. Add office text document with name. And the last task is shut down your system. And you will refer later to that. As said, all tests were videotaped with two cameras and screen captured. So you can see the reactions of the person, how he reacts, what he uses, mouse, keyboard, and you have other small video, what he's doing. I don't want to use very much words about the participants, but of course we try to get a good sample of them, but still be added with more male persons than female persons. That's only the now the participants of the KDE Classic, the KDE Kickoff, the prototype, and the Vista study. There are the numbers in there from the Slack, the Chrome Start Menu test. The participants were rather young, and that's also because of us recruiting many students. Then the other big part were employees, non-technical employees of SUSE, secretaries, lawyers, and also we had two managers in our tests. You will see one later. Maybe you know it. And they had, most of them had experience with Microsoft Windows. The one from our company or from university, some of them also knew Linux, either Chrome or KDE. And macOS was not so well known to start meaning or the interface of it. And one of the questions of the intro interview was how often do you start applications? Here are the different ways. And here we have only the listed for KDE Classic users and the Windows XP users. Yeah, if you didn't have a user which was already familiar with this Vista, of course. And you see that there are people using icons on the desktop. There are many users from KDE using just keyboard shortcuts to start the application, way more than Windows XP users. And also not surprising, as a surprise, is that KDE users use the text console much more than Windows users. So after doing this usability study and the build, the test of the questionnaire, we will show some videos of the some videotaped This later became up with our new design. On the left you have the upstream KDE menu without our synthesizer check and also without our recent application section. And on the right, when we have already seen it, is our new kickoff design, which presents the different categorization as tabs. Since this prototype, the design and the labels of the icons of the tabs change just a little bit. So we see that we have a search field there, because we wanted to have desktop search. We have a category for our favorites. By default, there are only favorite applications in there, but you are free to add your favorite documents there with your drag and drop or your context menu. So you have quick access to this. The recently used tab lists your recently used applications and documents. My computer offers shortcuts to your medias, to the S control center, and we have the all application browser. You can see the new menu in the videos later. Or it was at the OpenSUSE booth. You can check this out if you don't already know it was the other videos. That's the booth.
The philosophy that we came up with was that we wanted to make things that were frequently used, that were acted upon, very easy to get at. So it was centrally around the favorites, where you've got your frequent applications that you use, and that should be 90% of the time. And we look at the distribution of the rest of the curve of, I'm going to do this the other way around, of the applications that you use, it's going out like that. So you've got this long curve going behind you, that's my very cheap PowerPoint. And for that, we really put search in the foreground. So we've got the search there, at the bang at the top of the menu, and you get straight to the applications, that your documents, everything's there, it's all searchable, just type it straight in, and it all reacts live, so you get good feedback, and it's very enjoyable to use. And hopefully we will illustrate that.
I see favorites and recently used. Are those recently used files or applications?
Both.
The favorites, do you fill it yourself, or is it?
It's pre-populated with what we think.
You think what my favorites?
Those are the default settings. You have a mail application, a web browser, config, terminal, photos, help, and a word processor. Yeah. So how do you feel about that? Is that a good match?
It's a very plausible list of favorites. And I assume it can be edited.
Yes, I'll show you that in the video. We can demo it as well later, like.
Because there was also a frequently used list, then I had the idea it might just be.
Yeah. Well, we played with the idea.
You had a questionnaire. What's your favorite web browser and such?
We played with the idea of generating the favorites almost automatically by seeing what people use and then putting them there. But in the end, there's always a difference between what people think their favorites are and what their actual favorites are. And it caused a lot of frustration doing it that way. So in the end, we concentrate on favorites, but we also have recent stuff for the things that you really do use recently.
Yeah. How do you tell the difference between a program that, for example, you access, you go and click many times, like, let's say Digicam, you go and you click, you download some pictures, and other programs that you got them log all the time, and do you understand my question?
You have a program that's like started by session management that's kind of part of the environment, the second category? Or a program which is always open, like Kmail, which starts once and then is open all day?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. How do you tell the difference and which?
Do we differentiate between that? Those always open things, the kind of things that people will put in their favorites list anyway. So there it's there, and it's in that 80% bracket of the application that's used. So it's there as soon as the menu opens.
Sorry, how many people were in the scientific usability test group?
We had 30. We do have 10 subjects per group.
I mean, 10 subjects per group.
That's enough.
It's not enough, but it's if you see how we actually do the testing with background questionnaire, start questionnaire, video assessment, and then exit questionnaire. It's quite time intensive. You can only get through a couple of these in a day. So we do as many as we can, and that gives us a good thing to start from, and then we also gather feedback through more traditional ways.
If you really do a bad design decision, you will notice a split with 10 people, because then at least two will make the same fault.
Well, I'll let Stefan continue, because there's some results which illustrate.
One example, we don't have a video of that, for example, is that with the Windows Vista menu, you get this task search for something, and most users didn't find the search box, because it's in the Vista start menu at the bottom, and nobody looks there. So that's why the GNOME start menu and our start menu has it at the top. And first we had a early prototype, which had not a search label next to the line edit, but one in the line edit and hit the text, type here to search, and nobody found it. So now we have a big magnifier class and search label at the top, and now people are finding it. We also added some functionality which the classic Upstream application doesn't offer, like a highlighting of newly installed application. Duplication. I don't know what it is, but it was written to be installed. And also not only the narrowing application search in the start menu, but full integration with desktop. Search engine, which is not running obviously on this notebook. It depends on Beagle. With Beagle, you have results in your files. You can search your email. If you don't have the Beagle plugin installed for the start menu, you only have fits for your bookmarks, address books. Applications in your paths, and that was one of the questions recently, if it would offer the same functionality as the start menu, as the mini CLD of the normal KDE, yes, it does, and if you press return in KKL, it starts. So obviously on this machine, Beagle is not running.
I did my tax return this year using the start menu.
But if Beagle is running, then if you type in mouse, it will also suggest the appropriate yes module, which you can start right away, and you know. Okay, we don't want it to go live being open. After the tests, the users were asked. What's the next one? Yeah. Okay, one of the things also which got measured by evaluating the video tapes is how long it took the participants to complete the single task. And you can see that from most tasks, we have the dark blue is the new kickoff menu, the light blue is the candy test menu. The time required to complete the task decreased. And there are many or all, at least many values in which the new start menu was better for performing the task than the Vista start menu. Especially here is again task 12, which was at a documentation. Text file to your start menu. As you see, almost nobody is not help. There was also available help from the instructor if someone got stuck in the task. Was able to complete this task alone with the classic KDE menu.
What was the task that you didn't notice?
Task 12 was add a document to your start menu. Mm-hmm.
To add a document, for example, an Office file to your start menu. So if you a document that you use frequently and you want to get to it every day on your timesheet or something.
What you're working on this week or whatever.
Before we move on, what's really interesting to see here is that if you remember the backgrounds of the people that we were testing, most of them, or a lot of them, have used KDE Classic in their jobs a lot of the time. So these proficient users, when we compare the two new alternatives, Kickoff and Vista, most people had a very low level of familiarity with those. They were using the prototype Kickoff for the first time, and we had a beta installed of Vista, which people were trying. And there's such good improvement there based on the two alternatives and compared to the tool which people were proficient in. I think even with that sample of 10 guys left last, we've shown some significant improvements there with a good sample and relative to an established competitor.
Yeah, the same problem is the task. You see also in the success rate for a single task. As said, as an instructor who runs then help if a participant got stuck too long trying to complete the task. So basically every task was except the task 12. You were able to succeed with everything. Now it gets complicated because I'm a software developer and not a usability expert. But there's an ISO norm, the number is written down there, which defines computer interaction. And the subpart, there's written 10, but the graphic is wrong, it's 110, is about user interface design. And it has some categories and some questionnaires which you can ask participants of such studies. How is suitable did you find this menu for the task? How self-descriptive did you find it? Do you always have the feeling you are the controller of the application? And as you see, also in these videos, the new Oracle KDE start new perform better than the classic KDE start new. We are only comparing now with Vista because we don't have this GNOME, but with the closed source alternative. So we also got here some feedback that we did a good job. And the next one is even more interesting, that's the attractive by Hassenzahl.
Is that the best name you ever heard?
That's a German psychologist which defines some questionnaire and some criteria, like pragmatic quality, which stays for goal achievement, utility, and usability. And hedonic quality stimulation is curiosity, personal growth, perfection of knowledge and skills. So it's something that's new. You are, for example, likely eager to try if this application can do the stuff you expected to or such stuff. And difference, hedonic quality identification stays for self-expression and communication of self-serving symbols to relevant others. So you see that the participants of the KDE kickoff workgroup afterwards said something like, yes, that's my new menu, or I feel this is, yeah, they identified more with the start menu than with the previous menu. And their Vista almost none, I think, or in the average one, puts this mood.
The center line there is the base, so negative, things on the left are negative and are people who are unhappy, unsatisfied, or feel it actually detracts from their identification and their pleasure of working with the thing.
Yeah, I think it's a questionnaire where you can rate between -5 and +5, something like I degree it's attractive or whatever. And attractiveness apparently is also more modern or was more colorful than the old TV. Now we want to show some of the videos.
So, because we did the videos in Nuremberg, they're German, so they got me along to the queue. They got me along to narrate this. Presented in English. So here we are. The exercise here is to change your wallpaper. Jorgen's one of our partner managers. And we've been told to change the wallpaper. So we've got users using the new menu. This is just to demonstrate the mobile test how it works. He's looking at his documents. I'm looking at my computer. He's just browsing around. He's hesitating. He looks in the settings, the system settings of my computer effectively. This is the early prototype. You'll notice this is different from the one that's actually shipping. Then you find it in the search. It has this help button here in the prototype that we got rid of, didn't help. The tabs are also drawn differently. And then you find the background, you search the background there, and then you go straight to the training control module. And then he even goes beyond what he's asked to do and goes to get new wallpapers. So he downloads this list of wallpapers from the internet and gets all the freshest wallpapers and chooses something he likes. And look at him, he's smiling away there.
Why the help button was removed, there was a task that starts the documentation of an application, and we found that none of the test persons or only one use the help icon in the menu. So we saw it doesn't.
Didn't help.
Yeah, we,
yeah,
so we better put the search label left to the line edit because it helped more than having a help button.
We'll see that in one of the videos. So he's done the exercise, he's going to move on. Okay. So now, Jörg is asked to open the URL in his web browser. So he starts, finds his web browser. Firefox takes a long time to start. He's using Concrete, but it's not there by now. And then he puts in the URL. I'll just skip past this because he actually puts in the wrong URL and he gets a little bit confused. But just go as far as that part. And then finally, he comes to kids upon the idea of actually typing the URL straight into the. He goes straight into the search thing, types in the URL there, and because it's not just a search, we've also got a bit of intelligence, it also opens the common browser straight off there.
That's good.
So he's happy with that as well.
Also, das wäre zum Beispiel was, was man ja mit Sicherheit, was man mit Sicherheit nutzen würde.
So he's saying, yeah, something I'd really like to
do.
Yeah,
so it's going to be
give him a lot of pleasure. Okay, so we'll move on, leave you over
there. So this is going to be
now, Suzanne, who's a manager. We try to get users from different areas within the company, so we get a good range. And the exercise here is to remove the chat program folder from the menu. So, firstly, she's trying to find it in the menu, she goes to all applications. And she can't really find it, she's just not sure. So then she goes straight to search, which is exactly what we want to do. We want to make search useful and easily accessible. She finds the chat programs. Unfortunately, she finds the programs and not the folder. Remember, the task was to delete the folder. So then she's a bit confused. So go back to all programs. You notice in this, in this version, the menu opens, the all applications menu opens, and it shows the last part of the menu wrapped. It doesn't go back up to the top of the tree. That's actually been fixed now. So if you notice that, well spotted, but it was fixed. And then she gets the menu editor. And from then on, she finds it. Now she deletes it using the context menu. But then watch what she does.
Eigentlich würde ich das lieber in den Untermenü verschieben. Dann sind der Zimmer nur so weg.
But then what she does, she clicks the toolbar action for delete.
Ach, das ist
she deletes another folder.
Das kann ich da schon
lesen. And then she actually just saw something across on it and went straight through saw that as a delete action. And that's the kind of thing that I would never do, but is the kind of little facts that really get shown up by this kind of testing. So she's done it, she's pleased, she's happy, that's me right. And big smiles. Enjoying the scribbling in the menu there. We'll have a look at Karen. Karen's an administrator. Quick access to an application by adding her application to the favorites. She's saying, okay, well, she's looking at the application. She has to put K lines into a favorite thing because we know that statistically a lot of people spend a lot of time putting K lines in Suse. And she's found it, she's searching. She can't find it in the menu. She goes to all programs. So she's using the traditional menu.
Yeah, she found it, but she passed it to me. She did restart it at the same time.
Yeah.
Instead of doing something with the search result, instead of starting.
Yeah. So her urge was to click on the menu, so to click on the menu items immediately. And then she fiddles around a little bit longer, just skip over this, and then she finds it. And she's got it, and she adds it to the menu with a little bit of context. And she's saying she was confused because she thought that the right mouse button was hard to find, or it was hard to know that she should right mouse on the menu to add it to the favorites. So she's a little bit frustrated by that. And so at this point she gets prompted by our usability expert. And she says, we'll try dragging it around. Well, she's also saying, like, maybe there'd be an extra button for adding things to the menu. That was her feeling. So we get to see interesting insights into the way people think and the way people use software. Because as they're doing the test, they're asked to continuously speak, to explain their feelings in a kind of a almost therapeutic way. They're just sitting there and they're talking and talking and saying, now I'm doing this, this is what I'm thinking, I know this is good, and I don't like that. So after that, she hasn't got the button, but she does drag it. She drags it straight down from the all applications onto the tab, and it's there. And she's quite surprised by that. She's saying that once she's got it there, she thinks it's a good idea and she likes it. It's quite simple. Anyway, she's happy. Okay, we'll go over this one, which is this is number 12. This is the test that nobody could pass, and I'll tell you exactly what it was, just to see if you can figure it out to yourselves if you're a KDE user. Is to add a document into the classic KDE menu so that you can get to that document just with one click in the menu. But this is what happens. Let's give it to Andreas, who's a student. This is the old setup we had, which allows you to see people's faces and hands and body language a bit better, but you can't actually get as much information from what they're doing on the desktop. So So we found that that works better when you have the desktop as the name. He's looking for the menu editor. He's found the menu editor, and he says it's stupid that it's there and it's placed like that. In the background, you see Eva, who's our usability person. She's observing, making notes, and forming judgments, and then she writes a report. He makes a new item. And he looks and he looks and he looks, and there's all these options, and they're all relevant to different things. And he looks. And then he's picked out the document and added it here in the path to the thing that the menu entry should start, which is good. However, he's not able to find it because I think he's actually added it in a submenu without knowing that the submenu was selected when he clicked new item, so he creates a new item under the submenu. And he's quite confused. Oh. And he saved it now, yeah. But then he still can't find it. I'll skip past it because it's quite frustrating. And what happens in the end is that what the menu does is when you put in a path to a file, in this case, the menu doesn't execute that file, but it doesn't try and open it with a particular application. It just tries to execute the file, which in the case of a file which hasn't got the execute flag on it, isn't going to do anything. So this is almost an impossible task for someone who doesn't know how the menu really works. You would have to have something like OO writer, the command open office writer, and then the name of the file it's trying to open. That would have to be in the menu. So it's hard to do. Anyway, we'll skip past this, it's real torture and breaks my heart to watch it every time. And he's looking, he's searching, he's trying other alternatives. He's looking at various parts of concrete, he's opening, he's clicking on everything. And this is the task which was up there, and it took upwards of 5 minutes of people that was able to successfully do this one. With how they are. Are we done? It's a long one, isn't it? Okay. And then you've been here for all weekend and you're probably pretty tired, so I'll just show you this one with the new menu by comparison. Same task, different menu. So she goes to the recently used things that we were talking about before. She drags it onto the menu and it's there. It's as easy as that. And little things that we maybe take for granted, certainly as developers, we might not be aware of these problems because we'd just be opening things at the console anyway. But for a user who might want to open something like that frequently, it's really tough to do. And this new menu makes things like that, and just identified those problems, solved them, and made it better for the user. And we'll finish with our good friend Michael, who is a manager, and he was told with the Vista menu. You may have heard a little bit about the Vista quick menu options, so now you get to see it in action. And the task is to shut the system down. So he's actually gone click straight on logout. And he sits back, he's very satisfied with himself. And that's what a Windows beta logout looks like. But our usability person in this case is telling him, well actually look, you didn't do the task, you've only logged it out. And eventually Windows restarts itself. And you get a login screen again. So then he realizes a mistake. So he tries it again, he logs back in. He can't shut the system down from the login screen on that system, on that setup. And then he opens up the menu.
Maybe twice the same again because he thinks he misclicked, I think.
Yeah, he thinks he's clicking on the button. So in the bottom left of the right menu there, there is a power button, which is what he's clicking, a power button icon. He's clicked on that, and again it logs him straight out again without asking what to do.
Yeah, actually it suspends if you just click on the button. And when you touch some screen, keyboard or whatever, or just the mouse, then it restarts again.
Yeah, it's back.
Not so happy anymore, no. Just space.
And the body language is really good.
Okay, next time.
to tell when I started looking for the plug.
He's looking, and then he finds a submenu of the menu, placed in the odd corner, which has shut down. And their smile is back. Is Michael here? He's around there, so you can congratulate yourselves if you're around here. There's something at the end here that I really can't translate. It's in Bavarian. Maybe Stefan
could.
Oh, that was passed anyway. Anyway, but thank you for coming.
No.
sorry.
But there's also a really funny look of some former or still current Microsoft employee. Always they got to this design of the Vista menu. There were about 20 people involved designing and implementing it. And it's really funny. It was something I leaked from Planet Zoo recently again. So I just wanted to spend some general information. If you are interested in KDE, in an open source distribution, or in usability related things, we have two mailing lists to which you can subscribe by mailing to a mail to this name, just subscribe, where our team is subscribed. And I also want to point out that we have in the open source build service repository some repository like the KDE KDE 3 project, which contains the latest released KDE 4 release distributions. It's not supported officially, it's containing at the moment 3.5.6, and always again additional bug fixes which are not yet released via online update. That's only the KDE base system. We have also KDE Backports project where you can update single applications from factory or development distribution without having to update the complete KDE before. So if you need a new version of K3B or whatever, basket, you can add it, this repository to your package manager. And we have also KDE community package repository, where the community maintains many applications taken from KDE apps.org.
And what we're actually doing now for the next version of Suse, we've got a target set to us as in our team. And this target is we're going to get applications maintained by community members. So some applications are going to be maintained by community members. They're going to go straight into 10.3 from KDE community. So if you're interested in KDE packaging, and that's the thing, then get in touch and we can help get some more manpower on the project, and we'd be happy to have you.
Yeah, we want to have the community more involved, and of course we primarily want to increase the amount of available packages. More for the developers are the KDE Playground repository and the KDE KDE 4 repository. There are development versions, the latest one contains the third KDE4 developer snapshot, which just got released 2 days ago. But you should really back up your data before using it, and it conflicts with your system packages, and that's our testing code. Much more than we talked today is also in our documentation on the OpenSUSE wiki on the kickoff page. There you can find links to videos, more diagrams, description of the setup, and as a menu. So visit this first, talk to us, the booth, or post to the mailing list if you have further questions, or maybe not so many questions, but if someone has still a question, we may answer it now.
We've got 10 minutes, so yeah.
Johnson?
Branch of KDE base, why is it not just a plug-in
app that
works
with them? There are technical reasons, as Applet, you don't have, I think, information to all the recent documentation.
information, recent documents and recent applications information. And if it was implemented as applets, then you would have an ARCHI applet handle there. And yes, it's happily patched into the normal kicker, but this has also the advantage that you can easily switch the applet appearance from the classic start menu to the left to.
Yeah, I mean, you would.
If someone doesn't like it, to the KDE menu style.
Think of the steps it would be to change between menu styles. You'd be end up removing it. You'd be without a menu, and you'd have to add a new menu app menu to it, and you'd have run the risk of people being stuck without a menu and being unable to actually get to any more applications to change that situation without Alt+F2ing or something. So it's risky.
For comparison, this is so old. Start menu, and if you search a browser here, then you can search something, and only the path which contains the item will stay active. So it's more complicated finding a browser this way. But here's the choice to use whatever you like more. We got different feedback on it. People who love to browse through all the applications every day say, oh, we can browse through the old application browser much quicker than through the new one. And the people who really who want to learn to how to adapt their favorites to the habit, I think I'm much more happy with the new menu and also with the added functionality like desktop search and application highlighting. And but use whatever you prefer. The default on 10.2 is now the new start menu, and we are really happy without it. Also, I showed a screenshot of the GNOME SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop GNOME menu. And we will have a service pack for this product soon, and there will be a revised version of the start menu, which was also recently looked about on planetsuse.org, and they changed some stuff, and Miguel Sikatsa blocked that. Also, our changes for the start menu influenced their revision. For example, they replaced the combo box with buttons, so you can see what functionality you have there, and just that you can change it with one click. And they have also now more recent documentation, more prominently recent in the menu. Do we have internet? No.
Any more questions?
Yeah, any more questions? Nobody?
Okay. Great.
Thanks for attending.